You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Uta Kogelsberger. She's an artist. We're going to talk about her work. Uta, thanks so much for being with us today.
Hello. Thank you for having me today.
Let's begin with what you're working on now. What are you involved in? Is it images or video, or what is the current project?
I've just finished a trilogy about what I would call controlled pockets of freedom in the United States. And the first series was a series of photographs. The second was a video, and the third one is going to be a video again. The first project was shot at the Amateur Rocket Festival on Black Rock Desert. It was a place I came across when I was doing a residency with the Center for Land Use Interpretation in Wendover. And it was quite amazing. It's where Burning Man happens as well. And it's this event that happens once a year. And maybe 100 or 120 people, mainly guys, who are obsessed with rocketry and launch their rockets once a year. And their whole life is focused on this single activity. And I got really interested in this obsession that they had with this hobby of theirs, which basically consumed all their energy to culminate in this single event that would last a couple of seconds while the rocket would be going up. And if it was a failed shoot, then the whole exercise would have been failed. And I thought that was really interesting. I think it's quite, I find some strong parallels to what it's like being an artist in a way that we really care about what we do, but maybe it's not as important for other people. And I thought that would seem quite similar to those guys. And the other thing that was amazing about them is that they basically, this site is on the main airline traffic from the East Coast to the West Coast, and the whole traffic gets diverted just so 120 people can launch their rockets. And I thought it was amazing to see how, you know, such a kind of small group of people can have such an impact and how this kind of activity gets facilitated. And to me, that seemed something that was... obviously, you can hear from my accent that I'm not American. And it seems very kind of special and typical to American culture for me, that if you have something that you really want to do, you just go and do it, and you make it happen against all odds. And I was fascinated by that. So this kind of ability to make something like that happen. And then from that, someone saw the work and said, oh, you should have a look at this state vehicular recreation area, which is in California. It's a really amazing place. It's maybe 100 miles of sand dunes, a huge, huge area of these beautiful sand dunes. The south side is a nature reserve, and the north side is a state vehicular recreation area. So the south side is, as most of you in America will be, have come across, these kind of very pedicured natural environments. And the north side is this environment where people are just going completely crazy, driving over the dunes with their self-built cars. And again, as the community that has formed around the shared interests. And one of the things that's really interesting about that site is that specific site is this contrast between the natural environment and this other activity and this kind of political conflict that arises out of these two adjacent spaces. And I got very interested in that. And then the third series was is a video project that I'm shooting at the biggest machine gun shoot in the United States, which happens twice a year in Arizona. And it's basically a night shoot. And again, you have about 100, maybe 200 people who shoot at reactive targets with tracer bullets. So it's a phenomenal spectacle. And I think one of the things that these three locations share is this kind of incredible investment in an activity. I mean, the financial implications of all activities are huge. One of these machine guns starts at around $30,000 because most of them are collectibles now. And the bullets start about $7, and they shoot off 3.5 million bullets over a weekend. So just incredible resources thrown at these activities. The cars on the dunes are, again, they start around $30,000, $40,000, but some people invest like $500,000 into their vehicles, then they come with the RVs and all of that just to live out some kind of fantasy. So I was really fascinated by that.
Well, all the activities are in some ways very, I want to talk about the kind of overtones of why you're pursuing all of these, but my reaction to them also is, as an American and also someone who's somewhat of an enthusiast of some of these things, I also shoot off rockets. I have been, when I saw that video of yours, it was amazing to me. I did that as a child and with small model rocketry, and my son is now 14, although he's not interested. I was enormously interested in rockets and started researching and looking at kind of clubs and things like you were talking about, and found out there's also an enormous amount of money that they pour into that. What I do is model rockets. It's really not much at all, but there are thousands and thousands of dollars going into each shoot. One shoot could cost $5,000 or $10,000, and like you're saying, it could be failed. But to me, there's something also about it, perhaps, you know, like the other two, that's and the image reminds me of a little bit that you took of everybody looking up, you know, this sense that I used to get even from flying kites, this looking up at the sky, this sense of kind of endless, I don't know what to call it exactly, whether it's a type of ambition or a kind of sky-high dream. But does that seem to you to be kind of typically American, this sort of notion of, I guess a type of dreaming, or to be so bold as to escalate a hobby like this, like rocketry, to such, or even like the shooting, to such extraordinary levels?
I think so, absolutely. I mean, yes, totally, very, very much so. I really envy it, actually, this kind of this complete and utter dedication to something. I think it's very very specific. And I interviewed someone at Pismo Beach who was an economist, and he thought of Pismo Beach as being capitalism manifest, because it was this whole question of trying something, and if it doesn't work, you just get up and try again. So it is definitely this kind of incredible energy and a dedication. But I think also more than that, those three activities are all happening in these incredible landscapes and of the American West, which is very, which has been very fundamental in defining a kind of notion of American culture and understanding of American identity. It's in some ways, I think the activity on Pismo Beach could be seen as a hangover of the pioneer spirit, this kind of sense of trying to conquer land and the sense of entitlement and ownership of the land. And that sounds very critical, but I don't actually think of it in that way. I'm more fascinated by it than critical of it. The rocketry is very much also, I mean, I think all of these activities are very ritualistic, it's sort of the care and attention that is paid to how these things are experienced. So the people I met at the Rocket Festival was a bunch of guys from Oregon, and one of them is a farmer, and each year he specifically raises a cow that will then be eaten at the Rocket Festival, and the cow has a name, and it's usually a musician. So the first year I was there, we ate Elvis, and the second year it was Freddie, and so on. So there's all these kind of little routines that are set up to live out these things. And I guess all these activities create meaning, and it's this this kind of desire to create some sense of purpose through a purposeless activity that I also find really fascinating.
Well, it's also a bit of a community, isn't it? I mean, I think the parallel you're making to artistic activity is makes sense to me. What is different perhaps about artistic activities is we don't often gather in communities and share our experiences in the same way. Art fairs don't do that. I don't know of any examples that would parallel what's happening there. Like you're saying, the eating, the rocketry, the length of the event, in terms of the rocketry, the airspace being secured to some extent. That doesn't really happen in the art world, does it? And is this a parallel that you're drawing? Because it's, to me, what I often think is missing from our lives, and is part of the reason I even interview people, is more conversation, more gathering of people, even singing together, talking together, collaborating together in some ways, and we don't really have a forum for that. Is that correct, or would you agree with that, and is that part of what this is, what you're drawing parallels to?
I hope you're not going to ask me to sing, because I think actually it does exist in the art community. I think it's a little bit different, but I think this kind of basic establishment of a community where you set up a new set of rules that we all subscribe to, because we have to, right? I mean, if you don't take into account the language of art, then you can't participate in it. So we sign up for this kind of mutual agreement, and we have our little differences within that, but essentially we agree to participate in a similar society. So I was just at the Venice Biennial a couple of weeks ago, and it was astonishing how consistent the temperature of the work was and the language being used was, even if the works are very different. There's a sense of consent, and I think it's a similar mechanism that's in place with these other communities. So I think part of the desire to participate in these activities is to live out some notion of freedom, especially at Pismo Beach. But in that desire, they are also subscribing to a new set of rules.
Mm. That makes sense, and perhaps I did ask you two questions. that there is that parallel to the art world, and that's true. The Venice Biennial is very much an example of that. When you're making this work and talking about it and showing it, how is you? I mean, you're talking about American culture also to some degree, and as I do these interviews and talk to lately largely a lot of Europeans, people from all over the world, the view of America, even in terms of art, seems to be varied. For example, I see a lot of critiques of capitalism in Europe and in Eastern Europe, whereas in the United States, I see almost none of that when I talk to the artists here. What response do you get, or how does this interact with an audience when you present your work? Are these some of the things that are discussed? And to rephrase that specifically, the culture of America as it relates to British or European culture?
Of course, it's been difficult at times because, of course, you kind of come in as an outsider and pretend to have some perspective on things, and I think with the work specifically, I try to make sure that I stay neutral as much as possible. So I don't want to teach any particular lessons. I'm very conscious, and I make a lot of effort to try to let what I see develop its own narrative. So it's very observational, and it comes very much out of a school of looking at rather than imposing narrative. And I think that's very much to do with how I think about photography or video in general. It seems that so many interesting things are already out there. You just need to look at them and notice them. There's no way I could, as a single person, make anything as interesting as the complexities of what exists out there. So I don't think I'm trying to present a specific perspective about what America is, but I know the kind of work you are talking about when you are mentioning it. I'm trying to stay clear of that. I hope I managed to.
You did, but perhaps I can rephrase it. though there isn't a narrative that you're imposing, is there reactions that you're surprised for? Is there questions that people ask that you're surprised by? I mean, you know, for me, when I first saw, not your videos, but even those kind of launches by rockets, I kind of giggled at the whole thing when I saw these guys, and I'm into it, but when I saw these guys with these huge rockets that look, you know, so phallic, really, and they're all out there, it was hard not to laugh at it. And again, this is something I sympathize with. You know, I shoot off rockets myself. It struck me as both fascinating, exciting, and very humorous. So what I'm wondering is, without you imposing a narrative on it, are there questions that are raised that you hear when these videos are shown, or questions that are asked to you? Because the work is certainly raising these questions about, to some extent, even though it's coming from that school, as you're saying, of observational, it's the choices you make are, I would imagine, raising questions also from the audience and reactions that may have something in common within the field that you're showing them to, maybe to students or to other artists or anybody.
I think the reaction you're describing is quite, I often get that, a kind of mixture of excitement about the activities and being pulled along by the activity, and then a kind of slight reticence to it at the same time, and then mixed in with a bit of humor, I guess. Mm. But I think also the work, when you see the work, of course, now we are talking about the work, so we're reducing the image to the work to what can be phrased in words, and there's, of course, a lot of formal qualities that the work has that draw the viewer in different ways that cannot really be described in a conversation. So I guess those reactions are happening too. I've not had anybody walk out. Actually, I've had one person walk out of the Pismo Beach video because he was very offended by the activity itself. The Pismo Beach video is accompanied by a whole set of interviews. And some people find those quite difficult because I'm interviewing the people who are using the beach with the cars. And I'm trying very hard not to present a kind of pro and con argument because I'm hoping that the viewer will bring that to the work. So some people have found the interviews very offensive.
Hmm. That's interesting, too. I mean, perhaps that relates to a little bit of almost the realm of cinema verite, to be able to present something that isn't so much a point of view or an angle, but something that can elicit the reactions you're talking about, or even the things that I'm reacting to, as opposed to your agenda. Would that be more accurate?
Yeah, I would say that's quite true. And I think also, I guess in a way, the video work is a response to what's happening in photography at the moment, because before these video pieces, I worked predominantly with photography, and it is so hard to work with photography now because it's almost been deactivated by the networked image. So maybe this is a new place where you can do what photography can no longer can do.
Hmm.
I'm not sure if that makes sense to you.
That does make sense to me. And what's happening in the future? What would be the next projects that you're involved in?
I literally just took down a show about a piece that I shot in Los Angeles, which was very loosely based on Waiting for Godot, where basically I placed the camera in Griffith Park and spent maybe a year and a half shooting every day. But in exactly the same position, and it was edited down from about 450 hours of footage to 1 hour to create a patchwork of a portrait of the city of Los Angeles. That literally just came down today. And now I'm working on a project in the Lake District here in the UK, which is an arts council commission, where I'm working on this making a piece of work about an eagle who's the last golden eagle in the UK. And he was in a relationship for 5 years with an eagle bird. And they were trying to have eagle babies, and it didn't work. So there's all these unhatched eggs and unlived possibilities that I'm documenting, and I'm making a document about the eagle, and a person has written a book about this eagle who's been single ever since his mate died, and every year he builds 5 or 6 nests in the hope that some female eagle will stop us, but it's not working.
Uta, thanks so much for talking with us today. I look forward to that project. That sounds very beautiful, and look forward to hearing more about that. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.